to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Why don't we stand? And let's read the first 9 verses. I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and faileth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Whom have you not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I ask you that your Holy Spirit would take your word and apply it to each heart and life that's here. I pray that you'd give me a freedom and an ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask that your blessing would reside right here. If any lost souls in the sound of my voice, I pray, Lord, they'd come to know you, Savior and Lord. And every child of God that's going through trouble or trial or problems would be helped. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You talk about a beautiful passage of Scripture. You just read one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture anywhere. You talk about blessing. I think blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, man, I've got hope. Amen. You know why? Amen. Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
He's living. That's what that lively means, is living. So he said to an inheritance. If you look at verse 4, to an inheritance. Have you got an inheritance? Bless your heart, you got a spiritual one if you're saved. You got a spiritual one.
Yes, sir.
Every once in a while, I got a little inheritance from my dad, and my wife got a little inheritance from her mother, and I hope to leave a little inheritance to my children because I got 5. They got to divide it up pretty good, you know. And I can't give it to grandbabies because I got 15. So we're just going to stop with the 5. There's an inheritance. What a wonderful thing to have an inheritance. What a blessing to have an inheritance.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, tremendous, tremendous scriptures. That ought to bring joy to you. And then look at verse 5. How are you kept? By your good works? Are you kept by your faithfulness? Are you? No, no. What it says, kept by the power of God.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not kept by Lindell's power, because I'd have lost it a long time ago, and I could lose it every day about 15 times, right? All right. Wherein you greatly rejoice. And we do. But look, there is some heaviness through manifold temptation. You know what happens to us? We get in trouble, don't we?
Amen.
The Lord throws us curveballs, and the devil knocks us and kicks us when we're down. I want to talk to you about verse 7. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. I want you to think about that. That's a tremendous statement. You know what? We believe, we preach, we teach, we practice praying in faith, trusting in faith, walking in faith, working in faith, giving in faith, because faith is what moves God. There's plenty of need that does not get moved upon if there's not faith. Just check your Bible out. Check your Bible out. Jesus would say, according to your faith, be it unto you. Did you believe or did you not believe? Well, it depended on what happened to them. And that depended upon their faith. The trial of your faith, though, is not your faith. The trial of your faith is your faith being tested. Now, that's a little tougher. You know, you're praying for healing and you're not getting healed. You pray for life and death comes anyway. You pray to be successful and bless your heart, you don't make it. Do you still believe? That's the trial of your faith. That's how your faith gets tested. Your faith gets tested in life. Now, we live in this wonderful bubble called America. We're rich. We've got medicine and doctors, probably more doctors per square inch than anywhere. We've got more education than we know what to do with. There are too many doctors running around that aren't MDs. They're doctors in history, doctors in law, doctors in something else. You know what PhD means? Piled higher and deeper. I'm well educated. We've got everything. I am so glad I was born a Texan. And that made me an American. And I grew up in freedom. Wow! What a blessing. If you've never lived outside this country, you may not understand what I mean by that. But I've lived outside this country. And bless your heart, everybody else in the world doesn't get what you get. You better teach your kids how to work. Because I don't know if this bubble's going to last. God hadn't promised it. I know some of the preachers are saying how much he's promised it. No, he hasn't promised it. Bless your hearts. You are living in the greatest opportunity of any people that have ever walked the face of the earth since Adam. Wow. To be a part of that. But the trial of your faith. Sometime in life, you know what? Life is going to meet you, and life isn't all success. Life isn't all ease of pain. Life isn't all victory over medicine or over sickness or victory over failure. It isn't that at all. Life just comes down the road, and sometimes God's throwing curveballs. You think it's this that's coming your way, and it's not. And so sometimes people in life, and I've had people get, I've been preaching 58 years. I've had people really get mad at God and tell me about it. Attacking me is one of his, maybe halfway to blame, you know. Hey, not everything works out the way you want it to work out. It doesn't all fit the pattern. Because life happens. And if life happens, there's death and there's sickness and there's failure and there's sorrow and there's hurricanes and there's tornadoes and there's ships sinking and airplane falling. How about the testing of your faith? The trial of your faith. Can you still believe? Can you still trust? Will you? Well, I want you to look at three people today. Look back at Psalm 105. Verse 16. I'm going to read a few verses. Psalm 105, verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. Talking about God. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. And the word of the Lord tried him. The Lord sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Joseph, one of the nicest guys in the Bible. You know, some of the guys in the Bible aren't real nice. We got a bunch of rascals and scoundrels in the Bible, just like we got everywhere else. That God just gives us a picture. But here's the favorite son of Jacob. He had to be handsome. He had to be strong. He had to be intelligent. And boy, his daddy loved him because he loved his mother more than he loved his other three wives. And he gave him a great, big, beautiful coat of many colors. Now, the oldest brother didn't get a coat of many colors. And then neither did any of the other brothers get a coat. And you know what? Joseph was a little bit of a smart aleck. He was probably a goody two-shoes. He probably told on everybody else. You know, going, Daddy, you know what they did? Daddy, you know what they did? They hated his guts. His brothers could not stand him. And so his dad is using him as, you know, as his messenger boy. Go out there and tell those boys where to do this. Go out there and tell them this here. So he goes traveling out there, and he's 17 years old. And his brothers beat him up and throw him in a hole. And he thinks, well, this is just another one of those things. No, this one wasn't just one of those another things. One of them said, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him. And so here comes a bunch of traders coming by. And they say, we'll sell you. How much? So much. And they haul him off, and he keeps thinking, this has got to be a joke. They got to let me out. Wouldn't you think that? I could not think of my family selling me as a slave. And I don't think Joseph could hardly conceive of it either. But boy, it didn't help. Didn't take the chains off of him. Didn't slow down, didn't give him any more water, didn't give him any bread, didn't make anything nice for him, probably stole everything that he had. You know where he ended up? A slave. A slave in Egypt. Daddy's long gone, mama's long gone, brother's long gone. All his other brothers of his family, long gone. He's down there. Well, he gets this good job. And you know what the thing about Joseph? One thing I love about him, no matter where you drop him, he gets up working. He gets up working. He become the best in the house. The owner said, put him over everything. Well, he's a handsome young man. I imagine the owner was just really too busy for his lovely wife. And so she says, well, look what I've got here. And so she said, come lie with me. I can't do that. And so she kept pushing him and pushing him. And one day she grabbed a hold of his outer coat. And he ran off and left the coat. Vindictive woman. She says, he tried to seduce me. He tried to force me. Well, that's going to make the boss mad. He doesn't even mess around with it. He makes decisions. Put him in jail. And he sits down there in jail. We're talking years. We're talking a slave and a prisoner for 13 years. Not a month. He just get out of a couple of weeks in the hospital. No, not just 2 weeks. 13 years. Did everything happen before long? You know, everywhere Joseph goes, he's running it. He's running. He's running the house. He's running the jail. I mean, they knew they could trust him. This guy had character. One of the most beautiful characters we ever find in the Bible. And he wasn't rich. And he wasn't successful. And he wasn't doing what he wanted to do or what he planned to do. He's a prisoner. He's a slave. 13 years. That's 13 wasted years. God ever put you through a wasted year? 13 wasted years. And then all of a sudden the king gets a dream. And one of his men remembers, I remember a guy, there was a guy in jail. That's a good recommendation, isn't it? I know a guy down in jail. He can interpret your dreams. Well, they went and got him. Of course, they had to shave him. They had to bathe him. They had to put new clothes on him. He couldn't go up and look at the Pharaoh as he was dressed on a normal day and smelling like he smelled. They probably piled perfume all over him. Gave him a good bath, scrubbed him down good. And he walks up there before Pharaoh and tells him what his dream means. And Pharaoh says, where can I find a smarter guy than this? I don't care if he just came out of the jail. He's the smartest guy I know. And in the problem I'm in, he can handle it. And at 30 years old, he's now the ruler of Egypt, and he does it till he's too old to work. Praise the Lord. Did you have to go through 13 years in your college degree? I know some men do. God's preparation. What was God doing? What did it say right here in this scripture? God sent a man. Well, it wouldn't be the way I'd want to be sent. You understand? If you give me a choice, I'd rather go to school, or I'd rather to do something else. I'd rather OJT, find out how to work by working with a foreman. But no, that wasn't the way it went. I wonder how many nights he was tempted to say, God has deserted me. Do you? Some little something goes wrong, get a little hairnail somewhere, get a little emotional distress. God's deserted me. God's deserted me. Yeah. How many times in 13 years of slavery and prison did he have a bad day? But you know what? It seems like he kept believing. Believe me, he's a winner in this testing of your faith. Because he keeps on trusting God. He trusted God when he was a slave and didn't go into sin. He trusted God in the jail, in the prison, when they were around him. And he trusted God when he was before Pharaoh. He passed his test. Boy, it was a tough test. One tough test. Interesting man, though. Look, if you will, at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Moses is born in a time when they're killing male babies. So his mother hides him and nurses him quietly, and she kept him real good for about 3 months. And then she realized she couldn't keep him hid much longer. So she went through a desperate, desperate thing. She makes a little boat, little ark, and she puts her 3-month-old baby and tells his sister Miriam to send him out into the Nile. Let's just see where he goes. Bless your heart, he went right into Pharaoh's daughter's swimming pool. right over there, and Miriam is following him as he goes down the line. And this poor lady didn't have any children. And this is a beautiful boy. A beautiful boy. And she says, wow, this must be from the gods. Maybe from God. And she took him in and she raised him. Now he's not being raised down there cutting stones or other things like that. He's raised to be a general. And the Bible said by the time he was 40 years old, he was mighty in word and deed. Moses gave you his word, you could bank on it. And if you sent him out to do something, he'd get it done. One day he's out, he knows who he is. And one day he's out and he sees an Egyptian abuse a Hebrew. And in his fighting with him, he's a mighty soldier. He killed him. Probably kill you pretty quick. And he goes to the next day and thinking, nobody knows anything about this. And he tries to divide two guys that are fighting. They're Jews. And they said, oh, we know about you. You're the one who killed him yesterday and hit him in the sand. Well, what would you do? He took off. He lost all of his education. He lost all of his place. He lost all of his money. He lost his job. He was not trained to be a shepherd. He was trained to be a soldier and a statesman. He was educated in all the education of the Egyptians, and they were probably the most educated people on the face of the planet in that day. And he runs off into the desert and becomes a shepherd for 40 years. How about that? 40 wasted years. A man at 40 years old, he's got his maturity. He can do the job. He can stand up. God didn't take him then. God put him on the backside of the desert tending sheep. How humbling is that? Man, this mighty soldier, mighty in word and deed, he's out here walking around with a stick, you know. Pulling one sheep out of this and one another sheep out of there. I don't know how many hundreds of sheep he kept. 40 years. Are you disturbed right now because God hadn't answered you? This keeping you awake nights? Because God hasn't answered your prayer, your particular prayer, your special prayer, what you want? You've been praying for a couple of weeks already, right? Maybe you prayed a year or two. 40 years. And then God sends him out. Here comes his brother. Said, we need you. God went and looked for him here in chapter 3. He was keeping the flock. The angel of the Lord went down to a bush that should have burned up in a few minutes, but it didn't burn up. And when he's talking to God in verse 6 of chapter 3 of Exodus, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And what does he say? Who am I? You wait till I'm 80 years old? That doesn't sound like a good plan. I'm 78. I just need a couple more years to get to be 80. But right now, I'll tell you what, I don't have a whole lot of energy to tackle a whole lot of things. And here's Moses. What have I been doing out here for 40 years? I was a mighty man in word and deed back there. 40 years ago, I'd have taken them on. I'd kill about half of them by myself. But I'm not that anymore. I am a shepherd. I'm 80 years old. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That's an argument you'd have.
Amen.
Oh, I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
Oh, I guarantee you. God wasted 40 years. Now, this is the will of God. This isn't the will of Moses. This is the will of God. It was the will of God in Joseph. It was the will of God in Moses. Preachers, we talk about numbers. We talk about souls saved. We talk about churches built. We talk about money raised. We talk about tracts passed out. We're interested in the work. When preachers get together, they sometimes talk about the work. Quite often. God's interested in the man. You know what he was doing with Joseph? He was making a man. Oh, he made a man that would follow him anywhere. A man that wasn't afraid to stand up to the Pharaoh and tell him what he believed. He wasn't afraid to chastise the Pharaoh's servant. He had a man. Took him 13 years. Well, I'll tell you what he did. He's working on Moses. Moses. His education is going to take 40 years on the backside of the desert till he gets that man molded just exactly where he wants him. You ready for that kind of schooling? You ready for that kind of teaching? Don't wimp up and cry over every little stupid thing that comes your way. Take a look at these two men. Wow. Wow. And when they went and worked for God, they're two of the mightiest, greatest soldiers God ever had. Wow, did they come through. Well, turn over to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job may be the oldest book in the Bible. I personally believe it is. I think it's written before any of the other things were written, before the law was written, anything else. I think it's the oldest book in the Bible. And there's several reasons for it, but I'm not going to go into them. Satan is wandering around up in heaven, and when God has a meeting of his servants, Satan comes in among them. And God deals with him. He said, Satan, where you been? Oh, I've been going up and down, to and fro, here and there, seeing everybody. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? Don't ever point me out like that. No, no, I don't want to be pointed out like that. There's none like him. There's none like him in all the earth. You talk about a righteous man. You talk about a good man. Talking about a man served God. That's a guy. Have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, because you pet him. You let him have everything. You put a hedge about him. You guard him. You protect him. He's happy with his wife. He's got all these children. They're grown and he enjoys fellowshipping with them and all. Oh, wow. You protect him. You treat him so nice. Just turn your face against him and he'll curse you to your face. And God said, think about this fellow. He's in your hands. You can't take his life. You can't touch him. But everything he's got is in your hands. Wow. Now that scares the living daylights out of me. I want to bring praise to God, but I don't want to go through what Job did. So Job is just having a comfortable day. He and his wife might have been sitting drinking tea on the veranda. Or in the tent. And here comes somebody. Disaster. These crooks, these raiders came through and captured all your camels and all your mules and your horses and whatever. And then another one comes in and says the same sort of thing and just, he's a very, very rich man. And he's just lost a great deal of his riches on each step that he came down, and then one came to him, and it said, all your kids were having a fellowship and a party in the oldest brother's house. And this tornado come down and just destroyed it. And they're all dead. They're all dead. I was talking about 13 years. And then I was talking about 40 years. But this is life. No years to it. I said, well, he got 10 children back. Yeah, he did, but they weren't the same children. He never got back those 10 children that he lost. He got 10 other children with his wife, which was a wonderful thing, and he ended out his life. But God put a requirement on Job and a testing of Job that none of the others of us have ever had. You may have had something similar. I've seen some people go through some tragedies. I don't have the answer. I don't know all the reasons why people suffer, all the reasons why children die, all the reasons that some people get well and others don't. But you know what he did? Verse 20. Look at verses 20, 21, and 22. Chapter 1. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. That worship, he got down on the ground and he had his face in his hands on the ground. That's worship. You know what he said? Naked came I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return thither. That's true. You can't carry any of it with you. I like the story that they don't ever have a U-Haul trailer behind the hearse. You know, you leave it all. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Be real careful. I don't care what disaster comes in your life and something you cannot understand. In your wildest dream and for the rest of your life, you will never be able to understand what God has done to you. Some of you have just burdens and tragedies that come in your life that just break your heart and break anybody's heart that hears it. I don't know the answer. It's in God. But Job did right. Job didn't have any Bible to check. He didn't have any Psalms to read. He didn't have Paul to give him some good faith answers. But he did. Naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not charge God foolishly. I've heard a lot of people charge God foolishly.
Amen.
Little people like you and me. You're griping at God. What are you doing to me? How come I can't have this? How come I can't have my new car? How come I lost my business? How come I'm broke? You better just be a little careful how you charge God. You don't know everything going on. God was whipping the devil right here. We can see it. We see it from the story. God pointed Job out. God was getting him a deliverer for Israel. God was getting a savior for Israel. And he had things much bigger than what these fellows ever had planned in their life. You ever got your faith tested? In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Look at 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober. Get serious minded. It's not all fun and games. You're just not going to a park all the time. You don't just eat ice cream and candy. You have to eat other things too. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether you have all that you want. Be sober. Get a little serious-minded. I know you can laugh. I know you can tell a joke. I know you can blast out, but he says, be sober. And then he said, be vigilant. We don't like to be on guard. That's what he said. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. You've got an adversary. My sweet Texan, my sweet American. Wow, my sweet American. Praise the Lord. You have an adversary. Oh, you're not one that's going to walk up to you and confront you with a gun on the street. Now, that might happen. But that's not who your adversary really is. It's the devil. Do you know you're not fighting against that guy that's 6 foot tall over there and weighs 180 pounds? Or that guy that's 7 foot four and weighs 400 pounds? You're not fighting either one of them. You're fighting the devil, and he's a whole lot more powerful than any of the others. Nobody else has the power the devil has. It's nobody but an angel of God. Now, what did he tell you to do for him? He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. As he seems like a roaring lion. He looks like a roaring lion. He sounds like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're in a battle. You're in a battle for your soul. You're in a battle for your character. You're in a battle for your wife or husband. You're in a battle for your children. You're in a battle for your grandchildren. You're in a battle for everybody that knows you. Do you know you can let somebody down so easily? All it has is one bad day. You really can't afford a bad day of faith. You need to just keep trusting God. God is still working in men and women. Just like he worked in Joseph, just like he worked in Noah, just like he worked in Job, God is still working on men and women. He's not necessarily that interested in the work all the time. He's sometimes interested in the man. So pay attention the next time somebody doesn't do things just exactly the way you think they ought to do it. Pay attention when that ball starts coming at you. It might be a curveball. I was on a championship baseball team when I was a teenager. Now, I wasn't good enough to hardly play. I sat the bench mostly and caught the pitchers when my catcher was putting on all his paraphernalia. You know, I'm out there. And I had two pitchers on that same team that went for 10 to 15 years in the major leagues pitching. Your names, you'd know them. They used to love, one of them especially, to throw a curveball right at me and just have it drop off of me. I was scared to death. I don't like curveballs. I don't even think we had a beanie back in those days. I think we just had a cap for our head. They're throwing curveballs. You can't see. You don't know the death, the toxins that are in your mouth right now. You don't know the things coursing through your body or what's trying to get in your skin. You've got diseases around you. You've got troubles around you. You've got the devil around you. You've got sin around you, and sometimes we don't worry about it. We ought to. You ought to be as scared as Joseph and just leave your coat and run.
Yeah. Amen.
On a lot of other situations. Wow. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's what your job is. Your job is to resist steadfast in the faith.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
You need it all.
Amen.
You don't just need to be good at one thing or another thing. You need it all.
Yes.
Put on the whole armor. You need to be protected. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need the whole armor of God so you can stand and still be a testimony. You can stand and still preach. You can stand and still keep going. You can stand up in the faith. Your faith's been tested. In 2 Timothy 2:10, and I'll close with this one. I won't read all of it up to it. It's very good, though. But just verse 10. Therefore, that connects it to the first 9 verses. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I endure all things for who? The church. Believers. The saved. What am I doing? I'm watching out for somebody that's lost walking down the road beside me. Somebody in my family. I'm looking for them. I can't afford to get into sin. I cannot afford to get depressed. I cannot afford to have a crying jag because I didn't get my way.
Amen.
You can't blow up. You see your little kids all the time. You know what you want that kid to do? Grow up and control himself. You don't want him to grow up and still be throwing fits. I don't want to have what I do. Just go to HEB. Just go to the mall.
Yeah.
It don't take long. I could take a camera and just spend days, and I could have all this stuff in here of all these little kids that have lost it.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something else. It's not just the little kids that are losing it. I see some adults losing it.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
We need some self-control. Parents.
Amen.
You better help your kids get to control themselves.
Yeah. That's right.
If you don't get them to control themselves, then the police department will control
That's
them
right.
for you.
Amen.
Has God been teaching you anything? Has God thrown a curveball your way? Do you have a tragedy that you can't hardly take? Do you have a sickness or a weakness or a pain that you don't understand? You've prayed and prayed and it hasn't been taken care of. Well, what do you need to do? You need to keep your faith.
Amen.
You need to not charge God foolish.
Amen.
You need to look up and say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He doeth all things well. Christian friend, I'm talking to you today. Because you need your faith. If you don't live up to your faith and build your faith strong and build strong faith in your children and your family, somebody's going to lose out. It's important every day. It's not just Sundays. It's not just at church. It's not just at the job. It's at home. It's with the kids. It's at church. It's in a community. It's when you're driving your car to church, driving your car to work. And bless your heart, all the hurricanes aren't through. All the tornadoes haven't been blown. All the earthquakes haven't happened. And all the diseases haven't hit yet. You know what you do? You need to see if God is trying to build you into a man. Or a woman. Of faith. It doesn't matter whether you get what you want. Whether you ever get that fancy car you want or that fancy house that you want. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you honor God. What matters is you maintain a testimony in front of everybody that sees you that you're real.
Amen.
You're not some little fluffy crybaby.
Amen.
You're not somebody that loses their temper all the time. You're not somebody that cusses everybody out. You're not. Maintain a character and a testimony.
Amen.
Not to be saved. Help others be saved.
Amen.
Praise God, you're not saved by what you do, or all of us would lose.
That's right.
But I tell you what, you're saved by believing in Jesus Christ, and you show your testimony by your faith. And let me tell you, sometimes it's a little harder than others. Let's pray. Almighty God, we don't understand all the things you do with us. But we do trust you. You have been faithful. You have been generous, loving with us. You've been merciful.
Amen.
You've saved their souls and changed their lives. Oh God, make us men and women of faith and of character. May we be a testimony to the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.